Samantha, thank you. I'm glad you were there to calm your teacher's nerves and keep her calm. I'm telling you, I'm not sure she could have got through that without you. I couldn't see you, but I could hear you playing. That was a blessing. Amen. God bless you, young lady. That's super. I was coming down with this last night. I actually had a low-grade fever, but so I called Brother Larry, Brother Mick. I said, y'all just need to tuck something in your pocket for Sunday. And I know I got a text. I got up at 5 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and my phone buzzed immediately when I got up. It was Larry, and he said, I'm ready to go if you need me. And so I said, yeah, I'll use you tonight. And so people enjoy hearing Larry preach, and it's a blessing. I appreciate his faithfulness. You know, I was thinking about him a little bit this afternoon. He's done all right. Done all right for a little 11-year-old boy out of Kankakee that got on the bus and just stayed faithful all these years. And I appreciate him. Amen. I really do. And married a fine lady, the better half of the no doubt about it. So, but and a couple of kids now, and got a house. Just makes me happy. Makes me happy. So, you guys are going to sing for us, and then we'll hear Larry preach tonight. Come on, fellas.
Assembled before the throne, singing songs of worship to the Lord alone. As they cried, Holy, Holy, the heavens filled with glory, but they had to step aside when they heard a song arise. It made the Father smile to see His child step forth and start to sing. Redeemed, I am redeemed. The greatest song this mortal tongue can sing. Redeemed, I am redeemed. I once was lost, but now I'm found. His love has turned my life around. Amazing grace has saved a wretch like me. I am redeemed. The saints were all assembled there in praise. The choir was softly singing, and every voice was raised. The preacher made his final plea to every heart that would believe. Then a hush fell on that place when a sinner felt his grace. And the saints and angels did rejoice when that child began to lift his voice. Redeemed, I am redeemed. The greatest song this mortal tongue can sing. Redeemed, I am redeemed. I once was lost, but now I'm found. His love has turned my life around. Amazing grace has saved a wretch like me. I am redeemed. I am redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Song this mortal tongue can sing. Redeemed, I am redeemed. I once was lost, but now I'm found. His love has turned my life around. Amazing grace has saved a wretch like me. I am redeemed. I once was lost. lost, but now I'm found. His love has turned my life around. Amazing grace has saved a wretch like me. I am redeemed. I am redeemed.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Man, that, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I got saved. That's enough to make a Presbyterian, a Catholic, and a Methodist want to shout all at the same time. I mean, that's good. I mean, you're redeemed, man. You're going to heaven. That's a blessing. I can't wait to get there someday. I got a mama waiting for me, and I got a stillborn son sitting up there, and someday I'll get to see him again, and so I was just sitting back there just thinking while they were singing, like, how different has life been for me because I got saved? Isn't that awesome? That's why we're going to have this program, to get somebody else saved, because who knows what they'll end up being. And so maybe you might have to listen to them one night, unfortunately. So that's a blessing. If you got a Bible, look at 2 Kings chapter number 2, please. 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. While you're finding that, I want to say thank you to Preacher for allowing me to preach behind his pulpit. I usually say this when he's not here, so I hope he doesn't think I'm just saying it, but I understand what a great privilege and honor it is to be behind this pulpit. I really do. And I realize that we have a great man of God, and I appreciate the opportunity to preach behind his pulpit. I don't take that for granted. You know, honestly, I don't know if I've ever been more nervous because he's here. So I'm going to try not to look over there and to do my best to, you know, just do what I'm supposed to do. So, yeah, I was thinking to myself, I think it's been 6, maybe 7 times I've preached now here. And he's never been here. He always made sure to be gone because he didn't want to hear my nonsense. But, today he gets to hear it, so hopefully it'll be a blessing. You know, Preacher talked about it. You know, I was an 11-year-old kid. I didn't know anything about church or God like I wish I had. And he's walking down the alley to go visit some kids next door to us that was riding the bus. And my mom, like a good mother, said, "Hey, that'd be a great opportunity." And she started talking to him, and he said, "Sure, they can ride the bus." And you know, I think I've said this before, I didn't want to come. You know, we were used to not going to church, you know. And all of a sudden, it's like, man, we got to ride on this bus with these people, all right? But I tell you what, when I got here, I was glad. I haven't gotten out. And so I appreciate that. I'll never forget him coming by my house and getting us on that bus. You know, I said my mother's in heaven. She got saved underneath my preaching. That wouldn't have happened if I didn't get saved first. And somebody cared about me, and it helped my family. And so I appreciate that so very much. And I just want to say real quickly, I was thinking this afternoon about different things. And, you know, I love this church. I really do. I hope people understand that. I love this church. I've been here a long time. And I look around at the people, whether you're new or you're old or whatever, and I love you. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope you understand what a great, great place that we have here and what an awesome privilege it is to come to church here. I love this place. I really do. I was thinking about Brother Gardner this afternoon. Years ago, we used to do God Save America conferences, which I loved. I mean, I think that's where I first fell in love with preaching, man. We had some of the best. Dr. Howes would come and all those guys. And I mean, we would pack out the gym, and I mean, it was incredible. And to raise money for the conference, they were selling a conference Bible, Scofield Bibles, that they got all the preachers to sign who were preaching, and they were selling them, I think it was for $100. And Brother Gardner bought one for John and Tim and Danny, and he bought one for me. I don't know why he did that, but I appreciate that.
I love that Bible. It was the first study Bible I ever had. I love the Word of God, and I appreciate somebody caring enough to give it to me. I treasured that thing. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love this book. I love it. Now, thank you, Brother Gardner. I honestly, I still to this day, I remember that. You know, I was thinking about, I see Brother McDonald down there. You know, several times as a teenager, when I was riding the bus and things like that, I couldn't drive myself, and I wanted to stay and play ball and do things like that. And the McDonald's would always give me a ride home, and I appreciated that. You know, they had a lot of other people to take home, their family. but they would give me a ride home. And seriously, Bro McDonald is probably one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. I mean that, honestly. You could talk to that man about anything. We would talk about sports. We'd talk about girls. We'd talk about anything. That guy could talk about anything. And I appreciate their kindness. And it's just a representation of what this church is, a bunch of good, good people. It really is. And I just hope you all know, seriously, that I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. Would you stand with me, please? 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And we're going to start in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces." You know, that's a very interesting story there. Most of y'all probably know it. You could maybe quote those verses. But Elijah, who was one of the greatest prophets to ever walk the face of the earth, he's coming back again. The Bible teaches us in Revelation to be one of the witnesses, it seems. But this great man of God leaves in a spectacular way. I mean, literally a chariot of fire comes down and takes him up to heaven, one of only two men in the Bible who never died. Now, Elijah had a servant, Elisha, who followed after him, and it was in Elisha's heart to catch what Elijah had. He wasn't satisfied with, quote-unquote, being his own man. He said, I want what you got. We read where he said, I want a double portion of thy spirit. He didn't say, give me a double portion of me. He said, give me a double portion of thy spirit. And so in this story, he follows his leader. He follows the person that he looks up to all the way to the end just so he could get an impartation of what that man was. And so I want to talk to us a little bit about a subject today, and I want to entitle the sermon, call it Pick It Up. Pick It Up. And I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for the chance to open your word to try to be a help to these people, Lord. Please, just use me in a special way, God. I'm asking that your power would come down, that your Holy Spirit would move in this service, Lord, that folks would go home different because of what was said. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, we read in the Bible about Elijah and his mantle. Now, the mantle was an outer garment that many of the Jewish people would wear. And many times it was used for protection against the elements. Many times they would even use it for a blanket from all the study that I saw. So if you were going on a journey or whatnot, if you had your mantle, you never had to worry about being covered up or whatnot because you could use that as a blanket. But it was also a symbol of spiritual authority. It was a symbol of the power of God. And so when Elijah gets ready to leave, and he's getting ready to give Elisha what he asked for, he leaves something for Elisha. He doesn't just leave words of wisdom. He doesn't just leave a good thought or points him out to some good men to go to. He leaves his mantle. I find that interesting. We've heard preachers say over the years, nothing in the Bible is there on accident. There's a reason why God made it clear that his mantle was left behind. Because of the symbolism of it. And so Elijah, thinking that much of that symbolism, leaves his mantle behind, and he asks Elisha to take advantage of it. Now I'm going to read a verse to you in Matthew chapter number 28. These are very familiar. In verse number 18, the Bible says that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, here it is, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus left a command before he left. To the disciples, he said, fellas, what I want you to do is I want you to go out and I want you to reach the world. But even more than that, he said, not only do I want you to reach them for salvation, I want you to teach them everything that I've taught you. See, Jesus was concerned about succession. He wanted the people to be able to understand how they were supposed to live this thing called Christianity. He didn't want to leave them helpless, and so he commanded his disciples, who, by the way, learned it from him. And he said, fellas, when you go out and you do your thing, you teach them everything that I taught you. Why? So they can know, just like you know, how to live this Christian life. And so, technically, Jesus didn't leave a mantle in a physical sense. But in a spiritual sense, he did. Now, I bring this up for this reason. When I'm talking about pick it up, I want to talk about a mantle today. But I want to make something very, very clear. I am not telling you to pick up a man's ideas. I am not telling you to pick up a man's thoughts. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's like, oh, what's he going to say? It's all right. Don't get me wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, but you know, man can be wrong. I'm not asking you to pick up what some man has left behind. I want you to do exactly what Jesus told his disciples. I want you to pick up what he left behind. And by the way, what Elijah did with Elisha, that's what he was doing. He was giving him what God had given him, and he was just passing it on. And so we want to talk about this thing of picking it up, and I want to just try to be a little bit of a help to you. Now, I got a little bit of an example here. So Elijah leaves something behind. Now, this is what we call a ghetto illustration, so y'all understand. I did not have a mantle, and so I'm sorry. This is going to have to be ghetto. I apologize. But if you could use your imagination, please. I can see Elijah getting ready to go. And he's got that thing wrapped around himself and he's getting ready to go up and he's waiting to see if Elisha's going to do what he told him. Because remember, the command was, you got to watch me when I leave. And he said, okay, if he does it, okay. And so he gets up into the air and the Bible says that he just drops it. He just drops it. And so there it is, laying on the ground. There it is, waiting to see what's going to happen. And so the question becomes, okay, Elisha, what are you going to do? It's there. It's waiting. What are you going to do? And Elisha had to make a choice. Elisha had to decide, okay, what is it that I want to do? And I could just see this thought process going in his head. You know, preachers talk about this a lot. When you read the Bible, you know, God gets to his point. He's not like us. You know, we say a lot of things and it takes a long time to get to a simple thing, but he gets to his point. So you read a verse, and sometimes we read a verse and we're like, wow, that happened just like that. Well, sometimes verses could be covering years. God just gets to his point. And so we don't know how long Elisha was standing there. We don't know how long it took him to decide what to do. So if y'all will let me just add a little bit, but put a little picture to this, I just wanted to wonder if Elisha's sitting there and he's trying to figure out, boy, will that work for me? I want what Elijah had. And man, he told me I could have it. He throws back his mantle. Am I supposed to pick that up? Am I supposed to get that? I'm not sure. He would ask the other sons of the prophets, but they're on the other side of Jordan. You know, they didn't follow. And so he's got to figure it out on his own. And so I want to give you a couple of points to try to be a help today. First of all, I think the first thing we have to think of when we're talking about picking up the mantle, we've got to pick up the practice of the mantle. We've got to pick up the practice of the mantle. Do you understand that when Jesus left his way, he said, look, whatsoever things I have commanded you, there's a certain way that God wants us to do things. Whether we like it or not, that's the truth. There's a certain way God wants us to do things. And so because there's a certain way that God wants us to do things, if we're going to pick this up, we've got to pick up the practice. You can't come get this unless you want the practice. You can't come and grab this unless you're going to do what those who left it before did. Do you want the practice? See, when I think of the practice, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick up the King James Bible. That's the practice. That's the book. I'm sorry, it was like two of y'all said amen. I said, I'll pick up the King James Bible. I'll pick it up and I'll lift it high. And just like those who came before, I'll say to the next generation, that's the book for the English-speaking people. I love it. I'll pick it up. I'll pick up the local church. The local, independent, fundamental, God-fearing, Bible-believing church. I'll pick it up. I believe in church. I tell my kids, we go to church. I'll pick it up. I'll pick up the sanctity of family. We live in a world and a generation that has decided that family is weird and odd the way it used to be. But where are the brothers and sisters who want to pick up the mantle like what our fathers had and say the sanctity of the family? I'll pick it up. I'll pick it up. I'll pick up the necessity of standards. Brothers and sisters, I'm not here to harp on you. I'll let preacher do that. I'm not here to make you mad. But I am here to say that we've got to understand there is a right and there is a wrong. God draws the line on some things. There's a necessity for standards. Thank you, Bro Thomas, and I'm glad you agree with that. There's a necessity for standards. I'll pick it up. I'll pick up the power of prayer. Friend, it worked for our forefathers. It'll work for us. Would to God that we could learn how to pray like they used to. That we could see God do things through our prayer like those in the past. You know, we say, well, God doesn't move like that anymore. No, we don't pray like that anymore. God wants to live. I'll pick it up. I'll pick up the love of Christ. I don't want to just be an empty, uncaring, unfeeling person in this world that we live in. People are so cold and ugly and mean and rude and disgusting to each other. I came to testify to somebody that I want to have the love of Christ in me. I'll pick it up. That's what they did back then. I want to do it now. I'll pick up my love of neighbors. Jesus said, the two greatest commandments, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul. And he said, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, all the commandments hinge upon this very thought. You know, at some point in time, we're going to have to quit talking about how bad everybody is and start loving somebody. we mad at everybody. You know, let's call these people. I wonder if they would be different if we were different. I wonder if they would treat us different if perhaps they saw something. See, they see hatefulness. When you give them what they know, then they don't understand what you're talking about when you claim you're different. There's something about Christianity, friend, that's supposed to alert people to something. And they go, whoa, what is this? I just cussed you out and you didn't cuss me back? That's weird. I'm not used to that. What do you got? Now, I know some of y'all cussed somebody out this morning, but it's all right, though. It's all right. You can come to the altar and get forgiveness. Now, I'll pick up the love of theirs. I'll pick up the need for salvation. Thank God for the fact that we're reaching out and we're doing all that we can to try to get folks in, because there are folks that are dying to go to hell and somebody needs to care about the need for salvation. I'll pick up the filling of the Holy Spirit. Would to God that the Holy Spirit would come on us individually and fill us and cause us to be more like the Lord as we're commanded to be in the Bible. I'll pick that up. I'll pick up the need to die daily. Brothers and sisters, I'm just like you. It's hard for me to kill me. I like me. You know, nobody else does, but I like me. You know, I'm all right. I tell myself that every morning. No, I'll just kidding. But we've got to crucify the flesh. We've got to die daily. I'll pick up the power of preaching. I still believe in preaching. I still think that preaching changes lives. I'll pick up the desire to praise God. I feel sorry for some of y'all. I don't know what you're going to do when you go to heaven. You're going to sit there and you're going to be so upset. I mean, you're going to be upset because they're going to shout and they're going to scream and they're going to have a good time. And you're going to be like, what is this? You know, everything we do here on earth is really somewhat to a practice for what's going to happen there. And friend, man, we're in church. You get the chance to praise God, put a smile on your face, say an amen, have some joy in your heart, and to feel good about the fact that you're saved, you've been born again, you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. I don't get it. Tell your face that you're happy about it. I'm glad for the desire to praise. I'll pick up the awesomeness of faith. Jesus said our faith can move mountains. If you don't think that's awesome, I don't know what it is to you. I'll pick up the awesomeness of faith. I'll pick up the greatness of God. Preacher, when you were preaching this morning, he told that illustration. I think he's told it before about that fella cursing God and how that man that you knew was really upset about that. Just hearing that story bothered me. How can somebody talk to God that way? Or about God, I guess, that way? Man, he's God. He's great. He's awesome. Man. I'll pick up the greatness of God. I'll pick up the sweetness of singing to the Lord. Boy, there's some sweetness to that. I love singing. You know, sometimes I'll be singing in classes, and I know I probably bother the other classes, but man, I love it. I love to sing because there's just something about it. You know how many times I've been down, I've had a rough time, and a song has come to my mind, has come to my heart, and has lifted my spirits, and I walked out feeling good. I didn't need cocaine. I didn't need drugs. I didn't need any kind of liquor. I just needed the sweet songs of Zion, and it changed my whole day. I'll pick up the sweetness of singing. I'll pick up the reality that there's a heaven and a hell. Not one or the other. Not just the one we like. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you're here tonight and somebody's told you different, they're not teaching you what the Bible says. There's both. I'll pick that up. I'll pick up the blessedness of holiness. Well, thank you, preacher. The blessedness of holiness. I want to pick that up. I don't want to just leave that. I want to pick up the privilege of work. I was talking to my class this morning. I'm trying to teach my son to do chores and to do different things. Because, look, man, it's hard out there. And if you're going to make it, you better know how to work. And I don't want him sitting around like I see some of these dudes with their guts hanging over their pants and shirts not fitting quite right and laying on the couch and mama's going out to work and dad's just laying there burping all day wondering what's going on. I want him to be a man. I want him to grow up with something. I pick up the need for character. What's it, God, that we have people who have character? I pick up the need for character. I'll pick up the joy of helping. Isn't it awesome to do something for somebody else? The joy of helping. I think how many times people have done things for me. It makes me feel indebted. I feel like I need to do something for somebody else to repay that back. The joy of helping. I'll pick up the truths taught in teaching. Sunday school is important. Man, there's a lot of truths that we learn that could change our lives. I pick up the order of authority. The order of authority. I'll pick up the demand to defend truth. You know, if we're going to make it in today's world, you better have something to you. You got to have something to you. You know, sometimes we think we're great because we got guns and we got muscles and we're this and we're that. But when it comes time to defend the truths that God asked you to stand for, what do you have? You know, one of the greatest things that I think God has done for me is he's given me a testimony at work. And inevitably, if somebody has a problem or something goes wrong, they come and ask me. I'm not lying to you. I wouldn't do that. They come and ask me, what does the Bible say about that? Because I've tried to take a stand for truth. And I know sometimes they don't care for what I have to say. That's all right, but it's our call. I'll pick up the chance to show others the way. This is called discipleship. God gives you the opportunity to influence somebody's life. Man, that's one of the greatest things that God can give to you. I'll pick that up. Don't let folks just come to church and just exist. Reach out. Help. Take them to another level. Do all you can. You know what? Sometimes it doesn't work. I've reached out to help people, and they still walked away, but it's okay. At least I did what I could. I'll pick up the passion of righteousness. There's a passion to righteousness. There's a passion to doing the things of God. I want to pick that up. Look, when Elijah is sitting here talking to him, he's trying to let him know, look, I want you to have what I've got, but when I leave it, you're going to have to pick up what I gave you. You don't get to mess with it. You don't get to start your own thing. You got to pick up what I left you. So we pick up the practice. Let me say secondly, if you look again in verse number 9, the Bible says, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Can I tell you something? That we got to pick up the passing of the mantle. You know, God doesn't want it passed just any old way. Elijah gave him very specific instructions. And he said, Elisha, if you see me, it shall be so. But if you don't, it shall not be so. I don't think it gets more plain than that. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world today where people are trying to tell us that we've got to change the passing of the mantle so the next generation will take it. Preacher has talked about it, and some of the older men have talked about it. Well, you're hearing a younger guy to say that, hey, that's not the way it works. We must pick up the passing of the mantle the way that God wants us to pick it up. Do you understand that 50 other men had the chance to pick up the mantle, but they weren't willing to go all the way? Could you imagine? I'm sure after Elisha becomes the top dog, I'm sure they're probably thinking to themselves, man, I should have went. why didn't I keep going, man? You know, he was one of us, and now he's the leader. How many times could we have had the blessings of God on our life, but we didn't get it because we didn't take the time to pick it up how He wanted us to? It's the passing of the mantle. See, we got to understand that we don't get to decide how we pass it. See, can I give you a couple examples of that? We can't rap and rock and roll our way to reaching folks. Now, I know there's probably somebody out here that says, well, I'm all right with all that. I'm not here to argue with you. I told you once again, preacher will be the one to make you mad about that stuff. I'm just here to tell you that that's not the way that we're going to reach folks for the kingdom of God. You cannot change what God has left behind. Jesus left a specific thing. We can't pick it up and say, well, you know, I want folks to get saved. So if we rap them enough, if we rock and roll them enough, they'll come to Jesus. No. You know what has happened? We have churches full of unsaved people. Unsaved people. Because they're at rock concerts, they're at rap concerts, and they wouldn't know Jesus if He slapped them in the face. I watch TV sometimes and see these guys on TV and it makes me sick. They got thousands in their churches and they're rocking and rolling, doing all this stuff, and yet you never hear about God, you never hear a salvation message, you never see anybody change, but boy, everybody's having a good time. We're not going to do it that way. We can't change the Bible on our way to the mantle. We don't get to put in and take out. We don't get to, well, you know, that verse offends folks, so I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't preach that and we shouldn't say. Friend, we don't get to change the Bible to pass the mantle. The same Bible that God gave you is the same Bible you need to pass to the next. Don't change it. Don't mess with it. We can't give up standards on our way to the mantle. We can't just drop the ball and say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. All this does is offend people. Yeah, it does offend a lot of people. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about it. But we can't do that. We can't change the definition of marriage to pick up the mantle. Marriage is still between a man and a woman. I'm not mad. I'm not one of these guys that say, hey, let's kill them all. I want them to get saved. That's what your heart's desire ought to be. Because I hate to break it to you, regardless, I understand it's an abomination, but regardless of what we think, they would go to the same hell we would had we not gotten saved. And so let us have a heart desire that these folks get saved, but let us not change the mantle. We can't change preaching, convicting messages on our way to the mantle. We can't change preaching convicting messages. Look, there's sometimes you preach certain things and you say certain things that, boy, it just really bothers folks and it steps on their toes and they think to themselves, oh, I don't know if I really want to hear that. But the truth of the matter is, somewhere along the way, somebody's just got to decide if it was good enough back then, it's good enough now, and I'm not going to change because the mantle that was left for me demands that I pass it in the exact same way. In the exact same way. I can't change that. We can't question everything that has been taught us on our way to the mantle. I understand we live in a day of age where everybody's trying to logic everything out. And we examine everything. And everybody reports and talks about the 12 different ways of how this was wrong. And we're not sure about that. But as soon as they bring out a study on one thing, they bring out another study to contradict what they just did a study on. And so, you know, we could sit here and argue. The Bible talks about that, endless questions all day long, trying to figure out, well, you know, Grandpa told me this, and I don't know about that. Look, I'm not talking about opinions, but if Grandpa told you the Bible, we can't spend our time questioning everything that we've been taught. You'll waste a lot of energy, a lot of time, to only come to the conclusion that, you know what, I guess they were right. You know, we can't chase money more than we chase souls on our way to the mantle. I'm so sick of all the preachers of L.A. and the preachers of Atlanta and the preachers of this and that that are got TV shows and they're blinging out. They got all their fancy cars and their big houses and everybody wants to talk about how filthy rich they are. And that's what some people want to happen to every church. You've made it if you've got all the money and stuff. No, you've made it if you've kept the commands that Jesus left for you. And he told you, go and reach the world. Don't chase money. Reach the world. Would to God that we still had people who would want that. We can't chase money on our way to the mantle. We can't break God's laws to please men on our way to the mantle. We can't do that. I'm not mad at you, man. I'm trying to get you to see something tonight. You can't pick that up if you're going to break all of God's laws. You don't have the right to pick it up. Leave it where it lays. Let somebody worthy pick it up. Because you're going to mess up what God has left for us. We can't break God's laws to make a man happy. You can't do it. But unfortunately, we are. We can't promote sin to get people in church on our way to the mantle. You can't promote sin to get folk in church. Well, I know that the Bible says, I'm not lying to you, I heard a preacher say that the Bible talks about you being pure and whatnot and stuff, but people aren't going to do that, so I'm going to help them. And this preacher talked about all the different things that they were doing to help people to commit sin. It's ridiculous. We can't promote sin on a way to the mantle. We can't trade Holy Spirit power for man's wisdom on our way to the mantle. You know, sometimes you need God. You could be the smartest person in the world, and there's times you're going to run up against problems that you'll never find a solution to. And you're going to need a power beyond you. You're going to need something greater than what you have in you. And you better know how to get to the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because if we trade the Holy Spirit power for man's wisdom, we're not worthy to pick up the mantle. Brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of stuff I could keep on going on, but I'll stop there. All I'm trying to tell you is there's a certain way that we're supposed to pass this thing. And I understand, look, some of y'all are looking like, oh, this is just ridiculous. This guy, I can't believe he's saying all this stuff. And that's fine. You won't win everybody, but I said at the beginning, I'll say it again, I love this church. I love what I was taught. I loved how God changed my life. I loved the things that have worked in me. And so that's okay. You don't have to agree with what I'm saying. But I want to pick it up. I want to pick it up. You don't want to join in? That's fine. I want to pick it up. And if I come to pick it up, I can't bring those things with me. See, there was a certain way to pass the mantle. And then let me say last and we'll be done. Look at verse number 13. Verse number 13, the Bible says, talking about Elisha, Elijah's gone now. The Bible says, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when also he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So we finally get to the end. Elisha has made his decision. He's debated. He's tried to figure it out. And all of a sudden, he picks it up. And he says, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to try this out. I'm going to come on down here to the Jordan. And I saw my spiritual father do this. He came down to the Jordan. And what he did was he took that thing and he twisted it. The Bible says that he smote the waters, and the waters parted hither and thither. And I love what Elisha says. He says, man, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to do the exact same thing. I'm going to pick this thing up, and I'm going to find out if the power that Elijah had, do I have it too? If the power that Elijah had, do I have it too? Is there anybody in this room that wonders, do you have what they had? Is there anybody here who desires to have the things that we hear about? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing. It's time to see somebody doing. He picked up the mantle. He got to the waters. And I love it. He said, where be? Man, he said, where be the Lord God of Elijah? He said, God, you did it for him. I think somewhere in the Bible it says, God is no respecter of persons. What he'll do for one, he'll do for you. Do you believe that tonight? If God did it for Elijah, he'll do it for you. Pick up the mantle. Go on down to the waters. Ask the Lord, where be the Lord God of Pastor? I've seen him do some great things. And man, will it work for me? Will it work for me? And I'm going to pop that thing and find out. I want to talk to every young person in this room today. There's power, friend. There's power. I said there's power. There's power in the mantle. The question you've got to ask yourself is, do you have what it takes to pick it up? There's power. There's power. There's power. You can see something great happen in your life. Probably maybe more than what those who came before you saw, if you would just believe. There's power in the mantle. There's power. I want to pick it up. I want to pick it up. I want to pick it up. What kind of power are you talking about? I want to pick it up. Man, I'm talking about we've got to see the power of God to change lives. Friend, do you understand that people are struggling with all kinds of things, and yet there is a power that comes from God that can, it will, it shall, it's done it before, and blessed be His name, He'll do it again. He's going to change lives. Do you want to see that power today? Perhaps you need that change. There's a power of God to save the best. You think about the sweet old lady who baked cookies for everybody. She was loved in her neighborhood and took everybody's kids in, and she was just the greatest and most wonderful person in the world. Well, she needs a Savior. You think about the worst, the murderer who went by and murdered innocent people for no reason and was horrible and ugly and mean, and he might be the worst, but he also needs a Savior. The power of God can save the best and the worst. We must see the power of God to open doors that no man can. Is there anybody here tonight, you got something that you know you need so bad, but it hasn't happened for you? It hasn't happened for you. There's power in the mantle. There's power in the mantle. God is a God who can open doors that no man can. I said that no man can. See, some of us have given up. You forgot who you serve. Don't give up. Pick up the mantle. Pick up the mantle. We must see the power of God to beat back the power of evil in our world. Evil's on the attack. But I read somewhere, I'm sure it was in the book, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can pick up the mantle and I can help the power of good defeat the power of evil. Friend, we must see the power of God break the chains of those bound by sin. There are some people that literally, they're not just sinning, they're bound. Preacher talked about an example of one this morning, that man in chains and cutting himself and doing all the things that that lunatic did because he was possessed by demons. Friend, in today's world, it could be your neighbor, it could be your brother, it could be your sister. You don't know, but there's a whole lot of folk who are bound by chains. But I've come to tell you there's power in the mantle to break chains. There's power in the mantle to break chains. We must see the power of God save marriages from divorce. It's hard. Every married person in here knows that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's hard. But there's a power of God that can do what you think can't be done. Pick up the mantle. Pick up the mantle. God can bring it back. We must see the power of God to put families back together. How many kids don't even speak to their parents? How many parents don't speak to their kids? I've got family, it breaks my heart, that literally they have nothing to do with me. I see some of y'all, and I see y'all family coming in and out and doing all this stuff. And I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me sometimes. I sit there and think, man, why couldn't I have that? But the power of God can put families back together. He can put families back together. We got to see the power of God save our family. We must see the power of God bring back the person who is astray. When's the last time you thought about the person who used to be here? I said the power of God can do it. Do you still believe that? Do you still believe that? The power of God can bring you back. Hey, there's somebody sitting in this room right now. You're almost out. Maybe the power of God needs to bring you back tonight. Oh, friend, I've come to tell you the power of God can bring back those who are astray. We must see the power of God do miracles in the lives of people. You know, God's still doing miracles. I'm not talking about some weird wackadoo people slapping you upside the head and all this kind of stuff. But God is a miracle-working God. He doesn't change. And for some reason, because some people went way out on it, we just gave up. Well, no miracles because, you know, those crazy people do all that stuff. What are you talking about? It's in the Bible. Crazy people do all that stuff. Christians do that stuff. I believe God does miracles. Sure He does. God will do something man can never explain. We need the power of God to see miracles. We need the power of God demonstrated in our everyday lives. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what you could be like if the power of God was so real on you that anybody and everybody could see it? Could you imagine? Yeah, I'm a teenager, young person, college age, adult. Could you imagine what God could do with you if the power of God was on your life in such a way that everybody could see it? I would love for that. I don't think I have it, but I would love for that. Boy, I would love for that. We must see the power of God set our hearts on fire to serve Him. Set our hearts on fire to serve Him. What do you want to do for God? When is the last time you thought about how good He's been to you? He saved your soul. He was a friend when nobody else would be. He paid your bills when you didn't have enough money to do it. He took you off the sick bed. He changed your life. And for some weird, odd reason, God seems to be the reason for all our problems in our heads instead of being the reason for all our praise. I don't get it. One thing that I think I've learned over the years, my Christianity is pretty sad. I wish I could be a better Christian. But one thing I think I've learned over the years, I'm grateful for what God has done for me. Because, see, I grew up in the projects in Chicago. I don't deserve anything. You understand those kids up there, you sit, probably see it on the news sometimes. We couldn't even go outside to play because all they did was shoot all the time. Living in a big, tall prison, 30 stories high. And God protected us and kept us alive long enough to get us here so that we could come across the path of somebody who wanted to show us Jesus. How could I be mad at Him? My life has been forever changed because of it. Friend, God wants to do something great in your life. But it starts with you making the decision that Elisha did, that I'm going to pick up the mantle. Now, I know the tendency is going to be for somebody to sit out here and think he's talking to young people. That's not true. I'm talking to everybody. Can I just be real? I think as Christians, we've lost our way. And every once in a while, it wouldn't hurt for somebody to lift up what the Lord Jesus Christ left. and to say, hey, this is what it's all about. Let's go pick it up and do something with it. What could this program be like this spring if we truly wanted to pick up the mantle of God? What could God do with this church? We're not here on accident. There's more Larry Johnsons out there that need for you to come by and to tell them what I was told, that there's a God who died to save their souls. But you got to be willing to pick up the mantle. I said that we got to pick up the practice of the mantle. I said we got to pick up the passing of the mantle. And then I said we've got to pick up the power of the mantle. I don't know about you, but do you want the mantle? I do. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many people would say, Brother Larry, I heard what you had to say today. And I want to pick up what God left for me. And if that's you today, would you lift your hands? Are you interested? What did God leave for you? All right, you can put your hands down. I appreciate it. In just a second, we're going to have an altar call. And look, man, don't be so stuffy and sit in your seat and say, well, I ain't going to come down to the altar. Man, come down to the altar and let God know that today you want to pick up that mantle. Today, you want to make a decision that what Jesus left is what you want to continue until God leaves it for the next generation. Would you do that today? Would you do that? Is there anybody today who would say, Bro Larry, I am not 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I do not know Jesus Christ is my Savior. If that's you today, I don't want to embarrass you, but would you slip your hand up? I don't want to embarrass anybody. All right? If you have any other business to do, Brother Mick's down here to deal with you. If everybody would stand, please. The music's going to start. And would you come and would you pick up the mantle that God has left for you? Don't wait. Come on. We got plenty of time, plenty of room. Would you come and make a decision that the mantle is yours? Nobody else is going to have it. You want it. You desire it. You need it. It's yours.